Welcome back. We are here in week five with the NBA Boys podcast. As always, I'm your host, Fletch. Very, very excited to kick off this week five preview and kind of wrap up what we had in week four. A lot of action this week in the league and the NBA. But first, I've got a very special guest, someone that's been talked up by the past two guests. Well, three guests, because last week was two people. From the past weeks, we've got Andrew Kootz, the Greek Freak, here in the building. How we doing?
Good, Fletch. Thanks for having me. Happy to be on.
Yeah, of course, my man. I'm really looking forward to this week, especially after how everyone's talked up saying that you're one of the smartest owners in the league. I'm really looking forward to breaking down how you feel about your team, what your outlook is for the rest of the season, and to break down some of the events we've seen. So just like how we start off every podcast, Kootz, give me the assessment on the Greek Freak team so far.
So this year, I took a little bit of a different approach to drafting. Last year, I saw that steals and blocks were a big difference maker in a lot of matches. And I was lacking in those categories last year. So this year, I tried to focus on like five categories that I could hopefully have a good shot at winning each week. So that's kind of how I drafted this year. So this year I really focused on steals, blocks, field goal percentage, and also rebounds and assists. So that's kind of been how I was thinking about it. And it's coming together. I'm lacking in some categories, but overall I'm okay with how it's been going so far.
Yeah, nice. It's interesting that you say that you went right into the draft looking at steals, blocks, field goal percentage, because those are categories that you've done exceptionally well in. You're first in the league in field goal percentage and steals, and you're fourth in blocks. So I think the mentality that you had from draft night has shown to this point the season. But let's talk about some specifics. So who on your team especially have you been surprised with their play so far, or even disappointed? Give me both sides.
So a nice surprise so far has been Larry Nance Jr. for me.
Oh, yeah.
Probably because of the Kevin Love injury helps, but hey, I'll take it. He's averaging 10.5 a game, 6 boards, just under 4 assists, and 2.5 steals per game and half a block. So he's really been helping me out in the categories I need him to. And as I hope he can keep it up with Kevin Love coming back. Like, I'm sure there will be a slight dip in production, but I'm still expecting him to get me steals and blocks here and then. In terms of disappointments, Lonzo Ball's definitely got to be one for me right now. I don't put all the blame on him because I've been reading into it a little bit, and Stan Van Gundy's been using him as more of a two guard lately than a shooting than a point guard. Especially with bringing the ball up the court, he's been in a lot more catch and shoot scenarios lately. And even Lonzo looked like he was a little bit displeased in an interview I saw with him recently. And now he's nursing a knee injury on top of it, so that doesn't help. And let's see here. One more disappointment. So far, I've been a little bit disappointed with Mitch Robinson. I'm impressed that he's been getting more minutes, staying out of foul trouble, unlike last year, but he's averaging just under 2 blocks a game. He's getting me a steal and a half, which is the main reason I drafted him, but I was hoping for an uptick in points and rebounds. I was hoping for like 10 and 10 maybe this year, and currently he's averaging 8 and 8. So hopefully I can get some more production out of him as well.
Interesting take so far. I mean, I definitely agree with the Larry Nance Jr. You got him in the 11th round with the 128th pick, and for him to come out and play like 35 minutes a night is exceptional. He's a guy that no matter what team he seems to play for or how many minutes he gets, is when he sees the floor, he's going to get buckets and he's going to get the stats as well. He's going to get those blocks, those rebounds, the steals, the things that all roll into fantasy really well. So I definitely agree. As you know, kind of a short-term play right now with the Kevin Love injury, he's awesome. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out as Kevin Love comes back. I'm interested that you picked Mitch Robinson. I agree with you there. I mean, he's gotten a huge uptick in minutes with the new coach. You know, Thibodeau is going to run all of his starters into the ground every year, every team he plays, every time he coaches. So it's interesting. Mitch Robinson's gotten those minutes. He gets the stocks like he usually does, but it's not equating really over to points and rebounds, which is an interesting point and something that I didn't really notice on my first look through. And Lonzo Ball, I know he's out right now and he's kind of been a disappointment because there was a lot of talk that this was going to be his year. Basically the shooting was going to be up and it hasn't been. The passing was going to be up and again, it hasn't been, especially taking that shooting guard role. So Coots, is there anyone on this team that you're looking at and you're confident about the season as a long-term improvement? Like, are you looking at Cole Anthony, who hasn't been like exceptional, but he's coming into a role without Markel Fultz? Like, are you confident in his ability to improve as the season goes on?
Yeah. So it's funny you ask that actually, because I was just thinking about dropping him today.
Okay.
I don't know. Cole, I'm going to stick with him so far because the waiver wire it's looking pretty dry right now.
Yeah.
As you expect with a 12-team league and injuries happening already and COVID stuff happening. But Cole, my only complaint with him, he's so inconsistent shooting to start the season. I'm sure he'll figure that out. He's just a rookie, just getting back in the starting lineup with Fultz. So I'm looking at him. I'll give him another few weeks probably. So I can afford to take a hit with the field goal percentage category. But I'm hoping that he can get me some more assists because he's currently only averaging 3.5 a game, even with getting a decent amount of minutes lately. So I'll keep my eye on him. And another player I'm looking that I'm confident in is RJ Barrett so far. Mm. He's another one where the field goal percentage may be iffy on some nights, but he's been scoring the ball pretty well as of late. He's been getting more rebounds than I've been expecting. And he's also getting 3.5 assists per game. So I'm happy with him. I took him pretty late, I think in the 100s. I don't remember when, but early 100s I took him. So I'm looking at big things for RJ Barrett this year.
Yeah, you just like you said, early 100s, you draft him 104th in the 9th round. I definitely agree. RJ Barrett, this is his second year in the league, right? Second.
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, he's definitely seeing the improvements that you want to see out of a second-year guy. The field goal percentage, I like, you know, some nights might be good, some nights might be shit, and it's kind of shit through this point in the year. But getting the rebounds is nice. The Knicks are playing well, so you know he's going to score no matter how many shots he takes. He's a good pickup, and he's definitely someone to look to improve as seasons move on, as next year and the year after that, because field goal percentage is something that can go up. It's not like, you know, this guy's short, so he's going to be hard defensively to improve. Shooting is something that can always get better with age. So your comment from Cole Anthony kind of leads into my next question. Is there anyone on your team that you're considering like dropping or even trading at this point?
Yeah. So Cole's definitely on the hot seat right now. Other than him, I wouldn't really say anybody else on my team. Thaddeus Young's probably going to get the boot once Lonzo comes off IR for me. And in terms of trade pieces, I'm looking at my team right now and possibly Duncan Robinson, because I'm really lacking in threes this year. I think I'm one of the worst teams in the league in terms of three-pointers made. So he's good for that in the field goal percentage, but I'm not sure if it's really worth keeping when I know I'm probably going to lose that category most weeks. So if there's another team out there that's like mid-tier threes and like needs that extra boost, maybe I can ship him out for a guy that can get me some more assists, because that's an area I kind of want to improve in. But other than him so far, I've been relatively happy with my guys' performances so far.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, you kind of shouted out John and Mark and Benny with Duncan Robinson move. you, like you said, you're 11th in the league right now in three pointers. So at this point in the season, it makes sense to just punt that category. And a team like Benny's, where they're sixth right now, kind of mid tier, they could use a guy like Duncan Robinson. So
yeah,
Benny, when you're listening to this, maybe give Coots a call.
Yeah, he's been averaging 15 a game. He'll get you some boards and 3.5 threes made. So he's a useful player if you're in competition for threes.
Yeah, absolutely. And so switching over and pivoting to the waiver wire, I know you touched on it a little bit and said that it was dry. Is there anyone that you're really like looking at and keeping an eye on at this point? Like, reveal to me as much as you want, because I know everyone try to keeps their cards to the chest as much as possible on these things. But
yeah,
you know, what are some things you look for at least when you're on the waiver wire?
Yeah, sure. So I'm looking at a few guys right now. I don't want to give them away as of right now, but one of the biggest things I look for is minutes played on the waiver wire. Cause like, I don't know, there's some guys sub 20 minutes, like their stats look okay for getting that amount of playing time, but it's just not something I really want to add to the team. I'm looking for guys that are playing like I'm looking for like 23, 24 plus minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for guys. I'm trying to get assists, honestly. After my loss to Ian this week, that's an area I think I need to improve on a little bit. But yeah, waiver wire, it's looking dry right now. I'm looking at it right now, but there's one or two guys I have my eyes on, but those are kind of contingent on other guys' injuries, if that gives any clues to those listening right now.
Yeah. So when you say minutes, what do you sort by exactly? Are you looking at minutes on average from the whole season, the last 30, last 15?
I just click the minutes category and it filters it from most to least. So I don't know if you can filter from the last 10 or 15 games or whatever, but I've just been looking at season long minutes so far on average.
Yeah. You might not be able to do it on your phone. I know on a computer, you can do it by the last 7, 15 and 30.
I got to start doing that.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at, but it also should be taken with a grain of salt, I feel like, because, you know, the last 7 days, okay, they could have played like twice and had one really good game, and it could be showing those stats as this guy's like on the up and up when he was just filling in for a COVID situation.
Yeah, exactly. So, there's a lot of factors that play into the short-term minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So when I would try to filter at all, if I'm going to do that, like maybe I'll do the last 15 or last 30. I try to stay away from the last 7, but I do agree. The minutes is a big part, especially early season, of seeing who can actually come onto your team and give you stats.
Yeah, just, for sure.
Just who can be on the floor to get stats. That's a big part of the game.
Yeah.
You touched on your matchup with Ian, and I actually want to give a quick recap of all the matchups that we had this last week in week 4, because it's starting to get exciting. We're starting to see that separation. So going right down the line, I'm going to talk about each matchup, and if you want to give me a few words of insight of how you're feeling about the matchup or, you know, what your opinions are, feel free to chime in. So sure. First matchup of the week, my team takes the win 6-3. Against Garrett's team. My team slides to 2-2 while Garrett's goes down to 0-4. Personally for me, I think this game was a solid win. My team played well in the categories that I need them to play well in. I'm really focused on free throw percentage, steals, blocks, and turnovers. And my team did all of that well. So I'm looking towards the future, and hopefully someone on the waiver wire pops up that I can add in or make a nice trade and really boost my team to the top. So, and then next we had JP taking the win, going up to 2-2 as well. A big 7-2 win against Bilu. JP, his team played well in the categories he usually does, and he also played well in categories he doesn't. JP, on average for this season, he's ranked 9th in free throw percentage. Bilu is ranked 2nd, and John won the free throw category. So big props to John and a big week for him. And I also feel for Bielu this week because he had a lot of injuries on that squad as well.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, he had that a lot of guys around too. Like, looking at his team right now, CJ McCollum, Kemba Walker, John Wall, Jimmy Butler, Jeremy Lamb, and I know Bam Adebayo was also out. So that's way more players than you have IR spots. Not a great time, not a great week for Bielu's team. But
yeah,
you think Bielu could expect this type of play all season, Coots, or do we think there's definitely some improvement to be had here?
No, I have faith in Bielu's team. I think he's got a great squad, especially with Luka and CJ leading the way. Who else does he have? Yeah, and Butler and Adebayo. I think he's got a solid core four to start the squad. I think things are going to go up for Bielu once he starts getting guys healthy again. It's just it's unfortunate getting a bunch of guys injured this early in the season and COVID stuff and all that, but I think it's up from here for Bielu.
Yeah, I agree. So next matchup, John Shokan's team taking a big 8-1 victory to move him up to 4-0. He is the last undefeated team in the NBA Boys League, and Benny's team moves to 3-1. I mean, Shokan's team, yeah, you said it right there. His team is dominant at this point in the year. Like, Coots, do you think anybody can stop this guy?
I don't know, but I'm not going to lie. Even before this week, I didn't really get a good look at everyone's team and a feel for it until like week two. But I think Shokan's my favorite right now to go to the chip right now. He's got a lot of good big men, Christian Wood, DeAndre Ayton. Capella's been giving him good numbers too. He has Jaren Jackson coming back from injury, the right. Joker. His bigs are unreal. I wish I had one of them, but I think the Christian Wood pick was a really good pick. I really wish I got him this year.
Yeah, I think everybody on draft night was looking at Christian Wood. So Shokan was right place, right time, able to snag him, and it's worked out really well. And I think that'll work out well with this James Harden trade, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. So next matchup, we had Coppa's team Blake Griffin, taking a 6-3 dub against Team Henny. Coppa moves up to 2-2 and Henny down to 0-4. Coppa's team, it's I'm impressed. Coppa's team plays well in the categories they need to play well on. And he's a smart manager where he's figured out, okay, I don't need field goal percentage. I don't need turnovers. Let's just completely punt those categories and, you know, give myself a strong base. So look for Coppa's team the rest of the way. He had a big improvement this week.
For sure. He's got a good squad too.
Yeah. A lot of strong guards on that team. Curry, Levine, Ingram, Kobe White, Gordon Hayward, Kyle Lowry, like all playing well.
And Tatum and K-Love on IR.
Right. So those guys will come back sooner than you think. It's a long year. So
yeah, for sure.
Coppa's team definitely looking dangerous at this point in the season, despite the injuries. The next matchup is the big surpriser of the week. Joe Ingles Pringles getting their first win, taking a 7-2 victory against Shiokak Inc. Poots, what do we think about this one?
That put a smile on my face, Fletch. I like seeing Team Shokak lose after they called me out last podcast. Tough start for Joe, but he's another one. He's got a lot of solid bigs and a lot of good players on IR right now. And he's got Porzingis, Embiid, Gobert. Like, that's a pretty lethal trio of big men right there. Plus, he's got Westbrook and Tobias Harris on IR right now. So, slow start for Joe, but he's another team I think you got to watch out for.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been saying this from the beginning. Joe knows what he's doing. Despite his team not jumping off the paper at you after the draft, he knows how to make good pickups. He knows what to look for. I think Joe is going to make a big push towards the end of the season. And then finally, we're getting to your matchup here, Coots, where unfortunately you took the loss to Ian. Ian just squeaked it out in the end, 5-4. You guys both are at 3-1. So what are your thoughts on the matchup from this past week?
Oh, I saw I was down by like two or three categories Sunday night, and I didn't even look at the rest. I didn't realize I only lost by one. But yeah, I not enough people are talking about Ian's team. I think he's got, I was looking at his placement in the categories throughout the league, and he's pretty high up in a lot of them.
Yeah.
More than I expected. And he destroyed me in steals this week, which is my team's strong suit. He had 55 steals this week, which had to have led the league by a landslide. I don't think anyone was close to that. Like, my team had a good week with steals too, but he also had plenty of assists, a lot of boards, shot 87% from the free throw line.
Unreal.
Almost 700 points total, which I think he led the league in as well. So, tough loss for me. I'm not going to hang my head on it because I lost to a pretty good team. But Ian's another one. I think he could go pretty far this year along with Shokan. I don't think enough people are talking about Mamu mentality this year.
Yeah, completely agree with you there. Looking at those categorical averages that I touched on last week in the podcast, Shokan and Ian's team are leading the league by a bigger margin than last week. Shokan, like I said before, he does really well. Field goal percentage, three-pointers made, rebounds, steals, blocks, turnovers, and points. Ian's team does really well in free throws, three-pointers, rebounds, assists, steals, and points. They're both averaging a 4.2 on their category averages, which is insane. So I agree with you. I think those are the two teams to beat at this point in the season. So shifting back, Coots, to the conversation I had last week with John and Mark. They called you out. They said, this guy's not the Greek freak. We have the Greek freak. And they said, if we beat Coots in week 5, Coots should change his name. What are your thoughts right there?
Crazy, man. I had the Greek freak last year, if anyone forgot that. But before Giannis became the Greek freak, I was the Greek freak. People may not know that, but I've been referred to as the Greek freak on the court. So that's where the name comes from. If I lose this week, which I don't expect to, I'll change my name. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the matchup. And I don't remember what they said, but what's in it for me if they lose?
Right.
I got to ask one of them about that, I guess. But we'll find out. It should be a good game this week. And I'm watching the Greek freak on TV right now. He just bricked a few threes, so that's what I like to see.
There we go. Bring that field goal percentage down. Yeah, right now it looks like you're taking the lead. It's still really early with day one and the afternoon games of MLK Day, but you're up 5-4, so that's definitely a matchup to watch throughout the week. I think that might be my pick of matchup of the week. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah, it should be a good one. Hopefully I can get Beal back for some games this week, because he's a big piece I've been missing, and I feel like he's played one game in the past week and a half. The Wizards have just gotten screwed with COVID protocol and stuff.
Yeah, it's been really tough with COVID all around. I mean, we had the new health and safety protocols come out earlier in the week. What are your thoughts so far? Do you think that those will change into the future? Like, do you see improvements? Will we see less players on IR, and what do you think?
So I'm not too familiar with all of the NBA's COVID rules, but from what I've been seeing, it seems pretty extreme, but I guess you have to be to prevent a big outbreak in the league, because that would be a disaster. But it seems like a lot of teams are missing games early on, and I'm not sure how they're going to make them up this year, to be honest with you. There's a lot of teams out there that have missed like maybe 4 to 6 games already, including the Wizards, like I mentioned. So we'll see what happens, but I think the season will finish no problem, but I'm not too sure about all teams getting all their games in.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because I mean, there is a time limit on when all these games have to be played by. You'll probably see a lot of back-to-backs by the end of the year. However, I am positive in the fact that some of the changes in the health and safety protocols, like I know one for example, is players have to wear masks on the bench. And the reason why there were so many players that have been stuck with contact tracing is because they're not wearing masks around each other. And so if they wear masks on the bench and one guy has COVID, if you have the mask on, you're technically protected. So you don't have to be out with the contact tracing. So I think that'll limit a lot of the troubles we've seen over the past week of so many players going down and, you know, seeing Tyrese Maxey from Philadelphia just balling at 30 minutes a game. So I'm interested to see how that works out and then how it improves. But I'm glad the league is actually paying attention and taking note of this sooner rather than later.
Definitely.
So if you do lose this matchup against Shuacock Inc., do you have a backup name in mind for your team?
Not right now. I'm going to worry about that Sunday night if I see that I lose. But right now, I'm gonna let my guys do the talking, and then we'll see what happens. But right now, I got faith in my team. I'm not thinking of any name changes just yet.
So let's brainstorm. What could we ask them to do as they're part of the American? Should we ask him to change the Shuacock Inc. name, or?
I think that would be a fair trade-off. I don't know. They're naming themselves after the top team in the league right now. So I think they got to change that up after that loss last week, because they're no longer a top team in the league in the standings. But I think a name change would be in order. Maybe something that involves my name and their team name. Who knows?
Ooh, I like that. Maybe name their own team Andrew Coots, and then put your nice picture, from the fraternity on their profile. Yeah. That could be a move.
Maybe. I'll think about it more this week once we see how the scores are going.
Yeah. We'll shoot out the group chat and we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, we'll see.
So is there any other matchups between players in the league that you're looking forward to this year other than the Shuacock Inc.?
Yeah. I want to see how I do against the best teams in the league. I want to see how I hold up against Shokan's team, against Benny's team. I'm looking at the top records right now. There's a lot of teams, man, this year that I'm looking forward to. Even the teams that are 0-4, like everyone, I think a lot of people have solid squads this year. Just some tough luck to start the year for some teams. But yes, probably my biggest matchup I'm looking forward to would be Shokan, just to see how I stack up against him. So I played Ian tough. It's a tough loss, but it gives me hope for later on in the season.
Gotcha. What are those teams that you think had the tough luck and will be stronger as the season goes on?
Team Henny. I don't think Team Henny should be 0-4 right now. He's got some good pieces. He's got Brooklyn's backcourt. I think they're going to start carrying him once Kyrie's back and back in the swing of things. I'm looking at Garrett's team right now. He's got some solid guys too. I wouldn't expect his team to be 0-4 either, but is it their first year playing categories?
Yep, Garrett and Haniel. Garrett and Haniel's their first year.
Yeah, so there's a learning curve with that, but I think they made some good picks and things will start going their way. Like I see Garrett has Sexton and Seth Curry and TJ Warren all on IR. So those are three big pieces right there. And like we mentioned, I think Joe's had some tough luck starting 0-3 with the squad he's got. And you too, Fletch, I'm looking forward to facing your team. I see a lot of guys that I kind of want to trade for on your squad.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'll make some proposals soon.
Oh, I like that conversation. I've been having a lot of trade conversations over the past couple weeks, and I'm excited that today we actually got to see our first one. So kind of turning back to Haniel's team, because his team was affected with our league's trade and the trade in the real world. Let's go, one at a time. How do you view the value of James Harden in his trade and the other guys that were included? Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, Victor Oladipo. What do you think?
Yeah, so I think Harden's value is going to – I think he'll still be great. Like, we saw what he did the other night with the triple-double. Like, granted, Kyrie was out, but I think Harden's going to be getting a boatload of assists to KD. I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of the NBA league leaders towards the end of the season. Even with Kyrie being healthy and playing, I think Harden is going to be distributing a lot. and he's shown that he's willing to do that. Oladipo, I'm not too sure why the Rockets traded for him, to be honest with you. I feel like he's not himself after that quad or knee injury, whatever he had. Tough luck with Caris LeVert. Hated to see him go as a Nets fan, but it makes sense with all the guards we have and Dinwiddie coming back. Hopefully he's healthy with the thing they found on his kidney recently. So hoping all the best for Caris. I think he's going to ball out when he comes back. He's going to fit into the Pacer squad well. He's a gritty guy. And Jared Allen, really sad to see him go. I think that's what the Nets need, an interior defender. Get us blocks, rebounds, finish some dunks in the paint for us. I think his value is going to take the biggest hit out of anybody just because of all the bigs on Cleveland. They have Drummond, Nance, I think JaVale McGee, Kevin Love coming back. So we'll see what happens with Drummond. I kind of feel like they're going to move him out because I think he's a free agent after this season. But if he leaves, I think Allen's value could go up. But as long as he's there, I think he has a pretty low ceiling.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jared Allen definitely taking the biggest hit with the flooded backcourt or the flooded front court of Cleveland. Oladipo is probably the one I'm the most interested in and how he'll fit in Houston, because we know that in Indiana, I mean, he pretty much took any shot that he wanted. His field goal percentage wasn't great, but he got your points and he would facilitate and get other stats as well. So I'm interested to see how he'll fit in and mesh in Houston with John Wall and Christian Wood. He's playing, I think it's his first game on Houston right now. He seems to be doing pretty well. He's got 15 points, shooting 54% from the field. He's got 4 assists and 4 boards. So not a bad night for him so far at halftime. That's definitely one to keep an eye on as the season rolls on. So
yeah, for sure. But
yeah. And I agree with you with James Harden. I think his value stays exactly the same. I think there's no change. There's going to be enough room and scoring in Brooklyn for him, KD, and Kyrie Irving when Kyrie eventually comes back. But you've got KD on your team. How do you think KD's value and stats are going to get impacted?
I still think KD's top dog on the Nets. I think he'll take a hit in the assist category, but I think the addition of Harden is actually going to help KD's scoring. Which people may not agree with, but KD scored a pretty quiet 42 the other night, and Harden still had, I don't know, 30 points or just under 30. I don't remember, but like KD's still going to get his shot. The guy's the most unguardable scorer, I think, maybe in NBA history. He's still going to get those points for me. Hopefully the rebounds don't take a hit, but I think he'll be the same KD, maybe just slightly fewer assists, unless there's some nights where he's the one dishing it to Harden and Kyrie. Like, we'll have to see how that goes. But I think like Harden, he's going to stay pretty much the same, maybe benefit a little more with teams having to focus on Harden scoring too.
Yeah, very true. Teams are going to have to keep track of both when they drop their defenses. And speaking of KD, he had a pretty unbelievable week 4. Just looking at his last 7 game stats, he shot 61% from the field, 87% from the line, 4 threes, just over 5 boards, 8 assists, almost a steal a game, a block and a third, and then 34 points. Pretty monster week for him, despite you taking the L to Ian. I think he'll definitely be someone to keep an eye on and a great pick in the first round for you.
Yeah, I couldn't believe he fell, but I had a feeling he'd fall just because you don't know with Achilles injuries, but I had a lot of faith in KD. I knew he was going to get his buckets one way or another, but he's really exceeding expectations right now, averaging over 30 a game already, and he's just getting his legs back under him. So I think he's just going to keep going up the rest of the way.
Yeah, he's got a very, very high ceiling for what he can accomplish. So pivoting to the draft, because you touched on that, we're going to play a brand new game called Start Bench Cut. We're going to go through each team and their top 3 picks this year. And I want your opinion, which player that you would start, which player you would bench, which player you would cut. So starting with Hebrew Hammer, Benny's team, his first three picks were Karl-Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, Andre Drummond.
I'm going to start Book. I'm going to bench Cat, and I'm going to cut Drummond. Interesting. When you first asked me about that, this question before we got on the podcast, I thought you meant for like the first three picks in the draft, like Giannis, Joker, Luka. So if you rapid fire these questions to me right now, you're just going to get whatever I think off the top of my head.
That's the best way to do it. Catch you by surprise. Right. So right. Booker, you would start. Cat, you would bench. And Drummond, you would sit or you would cut. Yes. Interesting picks. Why is that?
I feel like I'd take Cat over Drummond. So that's why I cut him. And Booker, I just think he's such a natural scorer and he's so young. The sky's the limit. His points per game has been increasing every year since he's been in the league, I think. I think he's off to a little bit of a slow start for his standards now, but I'm a big Devin Booker fan.
Yeah, I mean, he'll definitely improve as the year goes on. So next team, Joe Ingles Pringles. We've got his first three picks were Joel Embiid, Russell Westbrook, and Tobias Harris.
Ooh, those are tough. I'm going to start Embiid, bench Westbrook, and cut Tobias.
Wow. Even with Tobias' season he's got so far.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a big Embiid fan, and Westbrook's just a triple-double machine. People can say he pads his stats all he wants, but I want a guy with that energy on my squad who I know is going to be in there night in and night out.
Fair enough. All right, next team, Data Davis. He had Anthony Davis, Ben Simmons, Kawhi Leonard.
I'm going to start AD, bench Kawhi, and cut Benny Boy.
Yeah, totally agree. Next team, my team, Trae Young, Shai, and Yusuf Nurkic. Not the best big three.
Yeah, man, he's been unlucky with those injuries. You said Trae and Shai. Well, we're going to cut Nurk just because of the injuries.
Yeah.
I'm a big Shai fan, but I'm going to go with Trae at starter on this one.
Yeah, I agree. Then we're going to move to Shokan's team. Nikola Jokic, the big Chungus, Ja Morant, and DeAndre Ayton.
Oh, man. Definitely going to start the Joker. Who was the other – Ayton, and who was the other one?
Ja Morant.
Oh, Ja Morant. I'm going to bench Ja and cut Ayton.
Yeah, I agree. Even with Ja Morant's injury, he's going to be an incredible player this year, fantasy and NBA.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So moving on, Shokok Inc., they have the real Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Paul George, Jamal Murray.
I would do it in that order. Star Giannis, bench PG, and cut – who was it, Jamal?
Yeah, Jamal Murray. Yeah,
cut Jamal Murray.
Yep, totally agree. Kappa's team, Steph Curry, Jason Tatum, Brandon Ingram.
Wow, this may be the toughest one so far. I'll start Steph. It's tough picking. Really, just edging him over Tatum, and I'm going to bench Tatum, and then going to have to cut the other one, cut Brandon Ingram.
Yeah,
Steph, just he's got the rings. He's one of the best shooters. You know, he's the best shooter I've ever seen, and he's such a beast. Tatum, with that growth spurt, he's going to be a problem the next 10 years, honestly. The Celtics are lucky they got him.
Yeah, totally agree there. I'd go in that order too. We've got a few more teams on the list. Mamu Mentality, Ian's team, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, and Nikola Vucevic.
I'm going to start Dame. Vucevic, I think he's criminally underrated. I'm going to bench him and I'm going to cut Mitchell. Yeah. Nikola just destroyed me this past week. If he was on a better team, you'd be hearing about him a lot more often.
Yeah, I agree. He's really incredible. And he gets a lot of like the out of position stats as well. Even though he's a big man, he gets lots of threes, and that goes way under the radar. So he's awesome. I would do the same exact thing, especially because Mitchell's not having a great season at this point. Mm-hmm. Next is Bielu's team. He's got Luka Doncic, Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo. Another good big three.
Yeah, I'd start Luka. I'm going to bench Jimmy, and I'm going to cut Bam, even though I think he's a beast too.
Ooh, so this is where we differ a little bit. I would bench Bam and cut Jimmy Butler. I'm just, from a fantasy aspect, Jimmy Butler just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I was honestly thinking more real life with these, but for fantasy, yeah, I haven't really looked at Jimmy's stats this year or Bam, to be honest with you, but I see both sides to that. Like, it makes sense to have Bam on the squad.
Oh, for sure. So next is your team, KD, Bradley Beal, Drew Holiday.
Got to start KD, bench Beal. Drew Holiday's got to go.
Unfortunately, even though we love Drew Holiday. Yeah. Next is Team Henny. We got James Harden, Kyrie, and Zion.
Oh, man. I'll start Harden. I'll bench Zion. I'm going to cut Kyrie just because all of his antics, man. You don't know when he's going to sit out or
right.
What the hell's going on through his head. So right. Zion's been putting up good numbers too. So he was another guy I wanted to draft this year but missed out on.
Yeah, he's been solid. I would do the same thing. I would cut Kyrie in a heartbeat. You just don't know what you're going to get with him. We don't even know when he's going to come back and play basketball again. So it'll just be a story for another season with him, and we'll see how it goes. So finally, we got the last team, Chocolate Caramello Crunch, which is Garrett's team. He got LeBron James, Pascal Siakam, and De'Aaron Fox.
We're going to start LeBron. I'm going to bench Swiper and cut Siakam. Mm. I like the way Fox is playing lately. I think he had 43 the other night. He's been playing pretty well, so I'll take him on my bench.
Yeah, he's been great. What's the gripes with Siakam?
Not sure, honestly. I'm just not too crazy on the Raptors this season, to be honest with you. It's more about them than him. Let's see. He's averaging 19 points, 8 boards, 5 assists. Solid numbers, but yeah, I'm going to stick with the De'Aaron Fox pick.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to agree with you there from the fantasy aspect. Pascal Siakam last year was a first rounder. He was my first pick, and he's really fallen off and just doesn't look good for him. I don't see a good rest of the season for him. Like, it just, from a fantasy standpoint at least, not there for me. So all right, cool. So let's pivot one more time. We're gonna do the way too early predictions as to wrap up here. So Coots, give me your predictions, NBA championship and the NBA boys.
Yeah, so NBA, my preseason pick was Lakers Nets, and I'm a Nets fan. I'm going to say Nets in six or seven, probably seven now, but I think it's going to be tough. I don't know who on the Nets is going to be able to guard AD if that were to happen. That's my biggest concern.
Right.
But just because I'm a Nets fan, I'm picking the Nets over the Lakers in seven. And for NBA boys, definitely – so I'm just going to include myself in this because I'll pick the two other teams. I'll be shocked if one of them doesn't make it. I got Ian's team and Shokan. I'm sure no one's surprised I picked those, but just looking at their teams and the stats they've been putting up, it only makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So I'd be shocked if one of those teams, if both of them didn't make it, my mind would be blown, but I'm expecting one of them to be in it at least for sure.
Yeah. Same here as well. So being a Nets fan, Coots, do you really trust DeAndre Jordan to go the rest of the way as your primary big man?
I really don't, to be honest with you. I don't know what we're going to do, but I feel like we need to make a move to get another big. It doesn't have to be a huge name big, but just someone you know that's going to be a gritty defender and get you boards. It's tough to come by in today's NBA. Like, I would say Drummond, but his contract's probably going to be unreal, and I doubt we can even take the hit after getting Harden, but just something, man. Even like a Larry Nance would make me happy. Just someone you know that's going to defend and like put it on the line for you on that end. Because right now, that's what I think we're struggling with. Like right now, I'm watching Nets Bucks, and the score's 92-81, and the third quarter isn't even over. So like, come playoff time, you got to put the clamps on because buckets are going to be tougher to come by.
Yeah, it might just be a shootout every single game the rest of the way with this squad.
Yeah, so, it's nuts. Yeah, like, I think we could average 120 a game with this team. Like, we're going to have to with the defense we're playing, but we'll see.
Yeah, we will. We will, Coots. So I think that's everything for today's show. Thanks so much for coming on. I'm interested to see how the rest of the league plays out for this week. And I appreciate having you on and getting your insight.
Thanks for having me, Fletch. I'm a big fan of the podcast. Keep them up.
Thanks,
my guy. Fun to listen to. Keeps everyone engaged. It's good for the league.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really looking forward to having more conversations with members of the league next week and forward. Just as a PSA for everyone listening at home, I've got this podcast and one more free upload on SoundCloud. So I'm going to be making a move here and trying to find a new platform. I've been talking to one of my buddies from my other fantasy football league, and he does a really cool podcast, and he's been able to put his on Apple Music and Spotify. So I'm going to get with him, maybe see if there's some potential for the NBA Boys podcast to make the move to Apple or Spotify, which could be a big move, but definitely don't want to do any ad reads and definitely don't want to pay for anything. So we'll see how it all works out, and I'll keep you guys in the loop. As always, thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk to you soon.